Chapter 15. A Plan for a Prize Novel. In a letter from the eminent dramatist Brown to the eminent novelist Snooks. Café des Aveugles. My dear Snooks, I am on the lookout here for materials for original comedies such as those lately produced at your theater. And, in the course of my studies, I have found something, my dear Snooks, which I think will suit your book. You are bringing, I see, your admirable novel, The Mysteries of Mayfair, apostrophe to an end. By the way, the scene, in the 200th number, between the Duke, his grandmother, and the Jesuit butler, is one of the most harrowing and exciting I ever read. And, of course, you must turn your real genius to some other channel, and we may expect that your pen shall not be idle. The original plan I have to propose to you, then, is taken from the French, just like the original dramas above mentioned. And, indeed, I found it in the law report of the national newspaper, and a French literary gentleman, M. Emmanuel Gonzales, has the credit of the invention. He and an advertisement agent fell out about a question of money. The affair was brought before the courts, and the little plot so got wind. But there is no reason why you should not take the plot and act on it yourself. You are a known man. The public relishes your works. Anything bearing the name of Snooks is eagerly read by the masses. And though Messrs. Hookie, of Holywell Street, pay you handsomely, I make no doubt you would like to be rewarded at a still higher figure. Unless he writes with a purpose, you know, a novelist in our days is good for nothing. This one writes with a socialist purpose, that with a conservative purpose. This author or authoress with the most delicate skill insinuates Catholicism into you, and you find yourself all but a papist in the third volume. Another doctors you with low church remedies to work inwardly upon you, and which you swallow down unsuspiciously, as children do calomel and jelly. Fiction advocates all sorts of truth and causes. Doesn't the delightful bard of the Minories find Moses in everything? M. Gonzales' plan, and the one which I recommend to my dear Snooks, simply was to write an advertisement novel. Look over the Times or the Directory, apostrophe walk down Regent Street or Fleet Street any day, see what houses advertise most, and put yourself into communication with their proprietors. With your rings, your chains, your studs, and the tip on your chin, I don't know any greater swell than Bob Snooks. Walk into the shops, I say, ask for the principal, and introduce yourself, saying, I am the great Snooks. I am the author of the Histories of Mayfair. My weekly sale is 281,000. I am about to produce a new work called The Palaces of Pimlico, or The Curse of the Court, describing, and lashing fearlessly the vices of the aristocracy. This book will have a sale of at least 530,000. It will be on every table in the boudoir of the pampered duke, as in the chamber of the honest artisan. The myriads of foreigners who are coming to London, and are anxious to know about our national manners, will purchase my book, and carry it to their distant homes. So, Mr. Taylor, or Mr. Haberdasher, or Mr. Jeweler, how much will you stand, if I recommend you in my forthcoming novel? Apostrophe apostrophe you may make a noble income in this way, Snooks. For instance, suppose it is an upholsterer. What more easy, what more delightful, than the description of upholstery? As thus. Lady Emily was reclining on one of Down and Eater's voluptuous ottomans, the only couch on which Belgravian beauty now reposes, when Lord Bathurstians entered, stepping noiselessly over one of Tomkin's elastic Axminster carpets. Good heavens, my lord! She said, and the lovely creature fainted. The Earl rushed to the mantelpiece, where he saw a flacon of Otto's eau de cologne, and, apostrophe, and see, or say it's a cheap furniture shop, and it may be brought in just as easily, as thus. We are poor, Eliza, apostrophe said Harry Hardhand, looking affectionately at his wife, but we have enough, love, have we not, for our humble wants? The rich and luxurious may go to Dillo's or Gabigan's, but we can get our rooms comfortably furnished at Timmonson's for 20L. apostrophe apostrophe and putting on her bonnet, and hanging affectionately on her husband, the stoker's pretty bride tripped gaily to the well-known mart, where Timmonson, within his usual affability, was ready to receive them. Then you might have a touch at the wine merchant and purveyor. Where did you get this delicious claret, or pate de foie gras, or what you please? Apostrophe apostrophe said Count Blagisky to the gay young Sir Horace Swillmore. The voluptuous bard answered, at so-and-so's, or so-and-so's. Apostrophe apostrophe the answer is obvious. You may furnish your cellar or your larder in this way. Begad, snooks. I lick my lips at the very idea. Then, as to tailors, milliners, bootmakers, and see, how easy to get a word for them. Amrinson, the tailor, waited upon Lord Paddington with an assortment of his unrivaled waistcoats, or clad in that simple but aristocratic style, of which Schneider alone has the secret. Parvy Newcomb really looked like a gentleman, and though corpulent and crooked, Schneider had managed to give him, and see, don't you see what a stroke of business you might do in this way? The shoemaker. Lady Fanny flew, rather than danced, across the ballroom. Only a Sylphide, or Taglioni, or a Lady Chausseed by Chevalet of Bond Street, could move in that fairy way, and the hairdresser. Count Barbarossa is 70 years of age, apostrophe said the Earl. I remember him at the Congress of Vienna, and he has not a single gray hair. Apostrophe apostrophe Wiggins laughed. My good Lord Baldock, apostrophe said the old wag, I saw Barbarossa's hair coming out of Du Croissant's shop, and under his valet's arm, ho, ho, ho. Apostrophe and the two bon vivants chuckled as the Count passed by, talking with, and see, the gunmaker. The antagonists faced each other, and undismayed before his gigantic enemy, Colconnell raised his pistol. It was one of Clicker's manufacture, and Sir Marmaduke knew he could trust the maker and the weapon. Knee, two, three, cried O'Toole, and the two pistols went off at that instant, and uttering a terrific curse, the lifeguardsman, apostrophe and see a sentence of this nature from your pen, my dear Snooks, would, I should think, bring a case of pistols and a double-barreled gun to your lodgings. And, though heaven forbid you should use such weapons, you might sell them, you know, and we could make merry with the proceeds. If my hint is of any use to you, it is quite at your service, dear Snooks, and should anything come of it, I hope you will remember your friend. The Diary of C. James de la Plutch, Esq. With his letters. A lucky speculator. Considerable sensation has been excited in the upper and lower circles in the West End by a startling piece of good fortune which has befallen James Plush Esquire, lately footman in a respected family in Berkeley Square. One day last week, Mr. James waited upon his master, who is a banker in the city, and after a little blushing and hesitation, said he had saved a little money in service, was anxious to retire, and to invest his savings to advantage. His master, we believe we may mention, without offending delicacy, the well-known name of Sir George Flimsy, of the House of Flimsy, Diddler, and Flash, smilingly asked Mr. James what was the amount of his savings, wondering considerably how, out of an income of 30 guineas the main part, of which he spent in bouquets, silk stockings, and perfumery, Mr. Plush could have managed to lay by anything. Mr. Plush, with some hesitation, said he had been speculating in railroads, and stated his winnings to have been £30,000. He had commenced his speculations with 20, borrowed from a fellow servant. He had dated his letters from the house in Berkeley Square, and humbly begged pardon of his master for not having instructed the railway secretaries who answered his applications to apply at the area bell. Sir George, who was at breakfast, instantly rose and shook Mr. P. by the hand. Lady Flimsy begged him to be seated and partake of the breakfast which he had laid on the table, and has subsequently invited him to her grand dejeuner at Richmond, where it was observed that Miss Emily Flimsy, her beautiful and accomplished seventh daughter, paid the lucky gentleman marked attention. We hear it stated that Mr. P is of a very ancient family. Hugo de la Plutch came over with the Conqueror, and the new Brougham which he has started bears the ancient code of his race. He has taken apartments in the Albany, and is a director of 33 railroads. He proposes to stand for Parliament at the next general election on decidedly conservative principles, which have always been the politics of his family. Report says that even in his humble capacity Miss Emily Flimsy had remarked his high demeanor. Well, none but the brave, apostrophe say we, deserve the fair, apostrophe morning paper. This announcement will explain the following lines, which have been put into our BOX asterisk with a West End postmark. If, as we believe, they are written by the young woman from whom the millionaire borrowed the sum on which he raised his fortune, what heart will not melt with sympathy at her tale, and pity the sorrows which she expresses in such artless language? If it be not too late, if wealth have not rendered its possessor callous, if poor Marion be still alive, we trust, Mr. Plush will do her justice. Asterisk the letterbox of Mr. Punch, in whose columns these papers were first published. Eames of Buckley Square. Elegy. O Molly gents what cleans the plate, come all ye ladies maids, so fair vile I a story vil relate of cruel James of Buckley Square. A tighter lad, it is confessed, near walked with powder in his hair, or vore a nosegay in his breast, than handsome James of Buckley Square. Evans, it was the best of sights, behind his master's coach and pair, to see our James in red plush tights, a-driving off from Buckley Square. He well became his aguilets, he cocked his hat with such a hair, his calves and whiskers was such pets, that all loved James of Buckley Square. He pleased the upstairs folks as well, and oh, I withered with despair, Miss Sisvold ring the parlor bell, and call up James in Buckley Square. Both beer and spirits he abhorred, spirits and beer I can't a bear, you would have thought he was a lord down in our all in Buckley Square. As ere he whispered Mary Ann, then I van 100 pound to spare, to take a public is my plan, and leave this hojus Buckley Square. ... Oh how my gentle heart did bound, to think that I his name should bear. Dear James. ... says I've 20 pound, and Jev them in Buckley Square. Master vas a city gent, his name's in railroads everywhere, and Lord, what lots of letters went betwixt his brokers and Buckley Square. My James it was the letters took, and read them all, I think it's fair, and took a leaf from master's book, as others do in Buckley Square. Encouraged with my 20 pound, of which poor I was unaware, he wrote the companies all round, and signed Hissel from Buckley Square. And how John Porter used to grin, as day by day, share after share, came railway letters pouring in, J. Plush Esquire, in Buckley Square. ... Servants all was in a rage scrip, stock, curves, gradients, bull and bear, with butler, coachman, groom and page, that's all the talk in Buckley Square. But oh, imagine what I felt last Wednesday week as ever were, I gets a letter, which I spelt Miss M. A. Hoggins, Buckley Square. ... He sent me back my money true, he sent me back my lock of hair, and said, my dear, I bid adieu to Mary Ann and Buckley Square. Think not to marry, foolish Ann, with people who your betters are. James Plush is now a gentleman, and you a cook in Buckley Square. I've 30,000 guineas won, in 6 short months, by genus rare. You little thought what James was on, poor Mary Ann, in Buckley Square. I've 30,000 guineas net, powder and plush I scorn to veer. And so, Miss Mary Ann, forget for ever James, of Buckley Square. ... The rest of the MS is illegible, being literally washed away in a flood of tears. A letter from Eames, of Buckley Square. Albany, Letter 10. August 10, 1845. Sir, as a reglar subscriber to your amusing paper, I beg leave to state that I should never have done so, had I supposed that it was Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.